Good morning. This is Old Lion and Young Lion, and we are here on Sunday morning ready to unlock and uncover the truths that are hidden in Scripture and declare them boldly. This is a show on WPTR. And you know what? We want to take a quick moment to just shout out WPTR. We thank you for giving Old Lion and Young Lion a shot and putting us on the air. We have some big things coming for Old Lion, Young Lion, so stay tuned. Now, you may ask, why do you call yourself Old Lion, Young Lion? Well, here's the reason why. We work for the greatest lion of all time, the lion of the tribe of Judah, and that's Jesus Christ. We also see clearly in the scripture that the righteous are bold as lions. And me, Young Lion, and Sam Hazelton here, Old Lion, we intend to accept the responsibility of teaching the word of God boldly. Now, we are part of the pastoral team of Electric City Baptist Church, located at 2350 Hamburg Street. We gather for worship every Sunday at 10:30, and we'd love for you to come and be a part of our gathering. And here's a little campaign that we've been having all of 2024, and that's this. If you've had a question or a biblical comment or inquiry about what the Bible says or teaches, and you'd like that question to make it onto the show, we'd like you to email us at oldlionyounglion@gmail.com. And if your question gets onto the show, you will win a free piece of Old Lion, Young Lion merchandise. And we promise you, you will not want to miss out on that gift. So we have been on the show now for almost 20 episodes, and we are excited for what's coming next. But we have a little tradition on this show, and that's this, that every single show we start off with, we start off with a word of prayer. So what I'm going to ask is Old Lion, our resident Old Lion here, would you mind kicking off our show with a word of prayer?
I will indeed. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to get into these precious truths from the Word of God, these things that have been hidden for ages and generations and that are now revealed to the sons of men. Lord, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be able to explain what's in the Word of God to the people that are listening today. I pray that you'd open their eyes to understand and see. Father, I pray that the God of this world, the devil, who is blinding the minds of the unbelieving, would be bound today. And I pray that those who are within the sound of our voice would hear and understand and be able to live by these words that we've spoken. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And we pray a blessing over all those that are listening. We don't know where life has taken you or where your journey has brought you. And we don't know what you're going through this morning. We don't know if you've had broken relationships or a loss recently, or you're walking through some trouble at work. But we hope that this show not only blesses you, but brings you a step closer to the God of heaven, to the God who is represented in the scripture, to the God who loves you. And we hope that this show brings you just a little bit closer to him, and on your journey, you get to know who that God is. Normally, what we do on this show is we walk through a book of the Bible or a specific passage of the Bible and teach it verse by verse. But we have a special edition over the next several weeks that we'd like you to come and join us on this journey of walking through the life of Jesus. Now, what we've kind of lovingly named this next little mini series that we're going on is the mission of the man that came to destroy the works of the devil and seek and save that which is lost. Now, this Jesus is the reason why we have this entire show. It's the reason why we even wake up in the morning. It's the reason why I am raising my four kids and loving my wife and pastoring a local church is all because of Jesus. He had a mission that was foreordained, that was scripted, that was written from the beginning of time. And we're going to walk you through some of the highlights of this wonderful mission that Jesus went on. But before we do, before we get into the next several weeks about this man, Jesus, you've got to know that hundreds of years before Jesus showed up on the scene, there were prophecies in the Bible that were written about Jesus. Did you know that? Sam, I'm sure you knew that. Did you know that there was prophecies written in the Bible about Jesus?
Oh, it's one of my favorite things about it.
And I love that the Bible has these mysterious phrases. Sometimes the Bible might even call them dark sentences, not necessarily in dark versus light, but just mysteries that are written in your very own Bible that predict that prophesy, that foretell of this man on a mission that's coming to save the lost. Now, in the Bible, there's hundreds of these prophecies, and we're going to talk to you about some of them today. I'm going to ask my brother here, the resident old lion Sam, to walk with us through some of these, but we want to look at two different categories of prophecy. And I want you to follow along with this. And we're going to ask the old line to explain some of these types of prophecy to us in just a moment. We're going to talk about the two types of prophecy that we see in the Bible. The first one is called verbal. And in just a moment, we're going to walk through what these things mean. But the second type of prophecy is called pictorial. And the pictorial prophecies and the verbal prophecies are throughout the entire Bible. When Jesus showed up on the stage, he said, "You do not know the scriptures, for in them you will find that they speak of me." So we know that the entire Old Testament of the Bible, the first half of your Bible, is written about Jesus. And the way by which we find Jesus in them is two ways, a verbal prophecy or a pictorial prophecy. So Sam, why don't you give us a little breakdown about those two different types of prophecy, how they kind of work, and then we'll start digging into some of them.
Well, one of the things I like to say is that there's nothing new in the New Testament.
Okay.
Everything that we have in our New Testament was really pre-written. It was concealed within the Old Testament. God says this, "I declare the end out of the beginning." Wow. And so as we read this Old Testament, what we're reading in concealed within the pages of the Old Testament is the entire story of the ministry of the Lord Jesus, as well as the future to come. And if you have been with this show from the very beginning, we went through what we called the cosmic drama, and we kind of showed how that story is woven throughout the pages of Scripture. Today, we're going to look at some of these verbal prophecies, and we're going to look at a couple of the pictorial prophecies. And I want to start with a prophecy. We've spoken much about the prophecy in Genesis 3:15 in the early weeks. So I'm going to set that one to the side. We're going to look at another one that's in your Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy. It's Deuteronomy 18 and verse 18 and 19. And it says this, "I will raise up for them," this is God talking to Moses, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him." And it says, "And it shall come to pass that whoever will not listen to this prophet, I myself," says the Lord, "will require it of him." Or he shall, in another version, it says, "He shall be cut off from his people." And so here's a prophecy that says Moses came, and the first five books of your Bible were written by Moses. But God said, right within those books, "I'm going to raise up a prophet like Moses, and everybody's going to need to listen to him."
Now, what's the passage of time between Jesus showing up on the stage in the books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and this being written down by Moses? Because this isn't just a couple of weeks apart.
No. This was 1,500 years apart.
So Moses wrote this down 1,500 years before Jesus shows up, and it's explicitly a verbal prophecy talking about the fact that a Messiah, Jesus, will show up on the stage.
Correct.
So Sam, let me ask you this before we look at any other ones. To the questioner, to the inquirer, to the searcher that says that the Bible is just an old book of do's and don'ts, and we get to read this 1,500-year-old prophecy, what would you respond to the man that says this is just an old rule book that's kind of keeping everybody in line?
Well, there are a few pages in your Bible that are devoted to giving rules for commandments that people have to live by in order to be in alignment with God. However, the majority of the Bible, the majority of your Old Testament, the majority of the New Testament is encouragement. It is a promise from God. God says, "Hey, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm intending to accomplish. Are you with me? Will you believe what I'm saying?" And so the Bible really is a book of encouragement and not a book of discouragement.
So when we come across, I think that's a great word, when we come across a prophecy in the book of Deuteronomy, what we should kind of feel in response to that is excitement of the encouragement that it shows that a Redeemer is to come. We get to be going, reading through this scripture, and then all of a sudden we see this glaringly truthful prophecy that says, "I will send a prophet that's greater than Moses." And then we find out that when Jesus shows up, he tells the woman at the well, hey, before Abraham was, I am. We find these direct connections over 1,500 years that not only proves the veracity of the Bible, but excites the very soul about the Redeemer that's to come.
Mm, amazing.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
Oh, so okay. So what else? What other on the verbal side of the prophecies do you got?
Here's another one.
Okay.
This is also from the five books of Moses. This is from the book of Numbers in chapter 24 and 17.
Yep.
And here's a prophet by the name of Balaam being quoted in here. And we all know the story of the wise men who came from Babylon to specifically to see Jesus, and that they were led by this star all the way from Babylon, hundreds and hundreds of miles away. And look at this prophecy here in the book of Numbers, chapter 24, 17.
Okay.
I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. Again, this is 1,500 years before Christ. A star shall come out of Jacob, that's Israel, and a scepter, that's a king's sign of authority, shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the forehead of Moab and break down all the sons of Sheth. God is going to lead people with this star. A star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel. And this is what these men from Babylon came. They saw the star in the heavens. They came to worship this king who had been born.
So now these guys, they see this prophecy in the Old Testament, and they decide to alter and change their entire life based upon this verbal prophecy that they've read, that they've learned about, that they heard about. When you read the prophecies, Sam, when you read these things that show up in Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, these verbal prophecies, what's your response? What do you kind of feel when you read these things that are thousands of years old predicting the Savior of the world to show up?
The big thing for me is I read it and I recognize this happened exactly as was predicted. And so the thought that it brings to me is everything that God says always comes true. Sometimes it's going to come true 1,500 years later, sometimes 1,000 years later, sometimes 100 years later. But whatever God says is going to happen. And it gives me strength to believe for the things that he's promised to me,
right,
that will happen, even though sometimes it seems like, how could this ever happen in my life? Look at my circumstances. And I need to remind myself that God's word always comes true in spite of my circumstances.
Let me ask the listener out there for a second. I want you to pause and I want you to think about this. Has someone broken a promise to you? Has someone failed you? Have you had a parent that just didn't come through for you? Have you had an employer that you don't trust any longer? Have you had a friend that's broken a promise or that you no longer speak with because of some dealings that you had? The word of God is perfect, strong. It's something that you can build your life on. And these are not just proofs of, again, the truthfulness and the steadfastness of the word of God, but what they're proofs of is that there is hope in this life. That when you're walking along your life, going through trial after trial after trial, God shows up with something, even as a promise or a prophecy, that you can build your life around.
Mm.
He makes the promise that the Star of Bethlehem is going to show up. He makes a promise that there's going to be a prophet that's better than Moses that's going to show up. What other verbal prophecies come to mind when you're kind of thinking of this Old Testament idea of the verbal prophecy?
So here's a couple from the Psalms.
Okay.
And David was not only the king of Israel, he was not only a glorious musician, but he was also, the Bible tells us, he was a prophet. And so in Psalm chapter 22, this psalm, which is a song by David, you read about it and it's like, wow, this is strange that David is singing about this because this didn't happen in his life. But he's actually writing this psalm about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so I'll read a few verses out of Psalm 22.
Go ahead.
It says in verse 14, it says, I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing, they cast lots. And if you have read the stories, the eyewitness testimony in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, you know that these things that were prophesied 1,000 years before Christ by David in the Psalm came true quite literally in the day of his crucifixion.
I love this in Psalm 22. And again, this is something that's representative of the entire Old Testament. You can find passages like these in almost every book that you read in the Old Testament. Right. Before we go to another view of prophecy, Sam, can you please give us a reason for why these prophecies are so valuable? If God has kind of pre-written this, what's the importance of it as it kind of flows through the entire Old Testament? How do you see it being, why is it so valuable to us? Why is it so valuable? And why did God put them there?
The best way I could put it is that these prophecies are the stamp of validation for the ministry of Jesus Christ to accomplish the mission that he was sent for, namely to destroy the works of the devil, seek and save that which was lost.
Well, why don't you give me a view about this, Old Lion? There might be a guy that you know that calls his own shot, that kind of guesses tendencies of people, that can kind of act as a person who can kind of see what's coming in his life and guess the stock market. How is this different that God eternally scripted this? Why is that important?
Well, you know, there have been a lot of people over the history of mankind that have arisen, and maybe some of them have become notable and have given rise to religions and belief systems. You know, you think of people like Buddha, you think of people like Muhammad, and these men obviously had an impact. However, if you look at the life of Muhammad, if you look at the life of Buddha, who was it and where was it written that they were going to come? Who wrote down what they were going to do during their life? Who predicted that they were to come, that they were going to be the answer of God to the problems of humanity? They just kind of showed up, and there's a few people that have sort of followed them, but they have no prophetic testimony behind them. This prophetic testimony really is that stamp of approval from God. So this is the one I sent as the Redeemer of mankind. This is the one I sent to destroy the works of the devil. This is the one I sent to seek and to save that which was lost.
And you may not know this, but the scripture gives rules for prophecy. It gives regulation to how to verify whether or not prophecy is true or whether prophecy is false. And newsflash, the prophecies about Jesus Christ have passed the test every single time with scrutiny, with evidence, with proofs, with through many infallible proofs, this has been shown that Jesus is the Son of God. So let's look at a different kind of prophecy that I think some of you may be very interested in. I actually love this, and I'm excited to kind of hear about how God does another form of prophecy, and that's through pictures or through stories. As you know, when Jesus was here on earth, he told stories all the time. The Bible calls them parables. But throughout scripture, from Genesis all the way through Malachi in the Old Testament, there were pictures that are prophesying that Jesus was going to be the Savior of all men. So there's verbal prophecies that just tell directly that Jesus is going to show up. But then there's picture prophecies that through a story, it's showing the story of Jesus Christ. So what, O-Line, what are you seeing in the Old Testament here as some of pictorial prophecies that are extremely important for us to know?
We all know that in the life of Jesus and his ministry, one of the things that Jesus is famous for is his parables.
Right.
He would tell a story that involved very simplistic natural components to explain a spiritual reality. Well, one of the things I like to say is that Jesus didn't just start speaking parables when he came down and did his ministry.
Okay.
Jesus has always been speaking parables. So we have in the Old Testament these stories of circumstances and people that are actually pointing to a spiritual reality which was yet to be fulfilled in the life of Jesus and in the life of the church.
I love that. Okay, so we're all waiting on the edges of our seats. What's the first one you got? What's the first pictorial prophecy that you see?
Genesis has 50 chapters.
Okay.
And the last probably 14 chapters are the story of this man named Joseph. Joseph was the son of Jacob, who was also called Israel, who was renamed to Israel, who was the son of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham. And Joseph was one of 12 brothers. Joseph had dreams. He was favored by his father. He was his favorite son. And he gave him a coat of many colors. Joseph had dreams. And in his dreams, his brothers were bowing down to him. In his dreams, his mother and father were bowing down to him. So here is a son among the sons of Israel who is being elevated to this place where all his family members are bowing down to him. Needless to say, his brothers got very, very jealous. They wound up selling Joseph into slavery. He winds up going down into the land of Egypt. And many years later, as God worked out the circumstances, the sons of Israel had to go down to Egypt to get grain because there was a famine. God had raised up Joseph out of prison, out of slavery, into the place of being Lord of all the land of Egypt and in charge of these wonderful stores of grain. And I can't get into all the details of the story, but they didn't even know they were dealing with their own brother that they had sold into slavery because he looked so different. His beard was shaven, etc. And he reveals himself to his brothers, which is prophetic for what's happening now with the nation of Israel. The Bible says that Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not. And so the nation of Israel, in large, rejected their Messiah. And yet, in the last days, the Bible promises in Romans chapter 11 that all Israel will be saved. The Messiah is going to reveal himself to his people in Israel. And the Bible says in Zechariah that they will look upon him whom they have pierced, and they will weep over him as one weeps for an only son.
I think this is wild. You have to go look up some of these prophecies. Do you know when Jesus shows up on the stage, there's a man named Herod that wants to kill Jesus. And his mother and father, Mary and Joseph, they grab Jesus and then they head to Egypt. And they go and hide out in Egypt until Herod dies. And then the Bible says this, that it might be fulfilled, I have called my son out of Egypt.
There you go.
Not only was Joseph in Egypt, not only were the children of Israel enslaved in Egypt, and both of them, they came out of there, but Jesus, the very Son of God, went to Egypt with his mother and father and came out. Okay, what's the second story that you see here? This pictorial prophecy that I think is very important.
Okay, here's another one. And literally, there are hundreds of these.
There's hundreds.
I wish we could sit here all day long, all week long, and go through these.
Maybe we should.
I don't think the WPTR folks would appreciate that.
We'll see. Okay, go ahead.
So another one here is also found in the books of Moses in Numbers chapter 21.
Okay.
And this is fascinating.
When you say books of Moses, you mean the first five books of the Bible.
Right. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. These are commonly called the Torah,
okay,
or the five books of Moses that give us the background and history of the people of Israel. And so in Numbers chapter 21, the people of Israel have been led out of slavery and bondage in Egypt into, and they're in the wilderness, in the desert.
The desert, right.
God had intended to bring them into the promised land soon, but they had disbelieved him, and they were scared of some of the things that they were facing in the land. And they didn't believe him. They wound up being condemned to wander for 40 years in the desert. During this 40-year period in the desert, there was a time where they were grumbling against the Lord, and he sent poisonous snakes, and the poisonous snakes were biting people, and they were dying. And so they cry out to Moses, and Moses goes to God. God says, here's what you should do. I want you to make a bronze snake. So they made a bronze snake in the image of these poisonous snakes, and he said, I want you to mount it up on a pole, and I want you to hold up that pole, and everyone who looks upon that pole will be healed of the snake bites. And so the Israelites were saved from this plague. And yet this was a picture. We all know that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was lifted up on a cross.
Right.
And all who look to Jesus Christ, we haven't been bitten by poisonous snakes, but we've gotten something far more deadly that we've been bitten by, which is the curse of sin. The curse of sin that was carried down and passed down along to us from our first parents, Adam and Eve, who sinned in the garden. That sin, we've been bitten by that sin, And now when we look upon Jesus Christ, I love this. So it's a snake on a pole. How is Jesus like a snake?
Okay, tell us.
Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says that he who knew no sin, Jesus who knew no sin, he never sinned once,
right,
became sin. So when Jesus was crucified, it wasn't just Jesus being crucified on that cross. It was our sin, your sin, my sin, that thing that had bitten us, that thing that had destroyed our lives and was threatening to take us down into hell. That thing was crucified on the cross. And so when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sin and as us, as our sin, we are delivered and saved from the power of that sin.
What a picture, what a story. And for further verification of this, everyone's favorite verse, John 3:16, if you go a couple verses earlier in John chapter 3, it gives credence to this idea when John says, "And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, also be lifted up." Then we find in the book of Hebrews that the Bible teaches us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. These are some truths that show up in these stories. And we all understand stories. We hear a story, or our grandfather told us a story, or our dad, or someone, some teacher we had told us a story. The Bible is filled with stories that point to Jesus Christ. So we've looked at two types of prophecy. We've looked at verbal prophecy, which is just a direct telling you, there will be a prophet that's greater than Moses. Then we've looked at stories. Moses or Joseph shows up in Egypt. I will have a son that's called out of Egypt. I will have a son that's rejected of his brothers, but that becomes the savior of all men. This is the same Jesus represented in the story of Joseph. I urge you to stick with us over the next few weeks as we look at the missional man called Jesus Christ, as he's shown in the prophetic nature of the Old Testament in verbal prophecies and also in pictorial prophecies. And we're going to tell you about the mission of Jesus is fulfilled in two ways. The first one is in the book of Luke chapter 19, that the Bible says the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. That was his mission. Prophesied about in the Old Testament, fulfilled in the New Testament, and still being fulfilled today. The second role that this man on a mission named Jesus Christ was to accomplish is in 1 John chapter number 3 and verse 8, where the Bible says that the Son of Man was manifested so that he might destroy the evil works of Satan. And so what was Jesus' purpose? To destroy Satan and save those that are lost. How is he going to do that? Being lifted up on a cross so that all those that look upon him and believe in faith that he rose from the dead shall be saved. That's the mission of Jesus Christ. The Bible is filled with prophecies that this is going to happen. Then it does happen. Folks, this is a matter of fact. Now, we're not a show that's political in nature. We don't talk about sports commentary or get into what's going on in the fashion world. We won't necessarily discuss your hobbies or the things that you might be into. We are a show that takes the responsibility of uncovering truth from Scripture and speaking it boldly. We ask that you come with us on this journey over the next few weeks as we discuss a man on a mission, the one and only Son of Man, Jesus Christ. We hope that you come with us. And God bless.
See you at church.